I can vividly remember the first time I realized that Judith Sanders might actually love me. We had been dating seriously for a while, and after Christmas one year, I invited her to travel with me to Birmingham. She had met my parents, but not the rest of my family, and just wanted her to come down and kind of meet the family and get to know folks and let them get to know her, and I was really proud of her. And about the third night that we were in Birmingham, somebody had the great idea that one of the wonderful ways our family could spend a great evening together would be to pull out all of those old home movies that we had filmed over the years and watch them together. And so for about the next 2.5 or 3 hours, we sat down and we watched home movie after home movie after home movie. We watched old Christmases when we were little. We watched Easter when we were all dressed up. We watched birthday parties and all the things that had happened in our lives. And through that whole evening, Judith had the privilege of watching a group of people she had barely met, involved in things she knew nothing at all about. And through the whole night, you know what she did? She did this. And when the evening was over, you know what she said? She said she enjoyed it. I thought, this woman must really love me. And I say that this morning because I'll be really honest with you. When you go to the book of 1 Chronicles, as I did a few weeks ago in beginning to prepare for this, for the first 10 chapters of 1 Chronicles, you get the same feeling that she had that night. If it's been a while since you read 1 Chronicles, maybe you're one of those who likes to read through the Bible every year, or there are times when you've exposed yourself. All I could think about was this past January when we were all reading through the Bible here behind the pulpit, Rich, because for 10 chapters, it's nothing but names. It is the 12 tribes of Israel. It is the leaders of the 12 tribes and their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, and time after time after time, name after name after name, you don't get any explanation about who these people were. Now, I can imagine the descendants of these people are probably nodding their heads. They're remembering the great stories that have been passed down through their families. Remember when this happened? Remember when that happened? Remember why this one was so important and so famous? But for the rest of us, it's like watching somebody else's home movies. You just sit through 10 chapters of Chronicles reading names. I kept wondering for whoever, and I won't ask you to confess this morning, but for whoever read that, how long did it take you to learn to pronounce all of those names? And then all of a sudden, in the fourth chapter, just for a moment, you get a glimpse of one person. One person whose life is described, but actually it doesn't describe his life. It records his prayer. And his name was Jabez. Now I'm going to say something to begin with, because I just talked about pronouncing names. His name is pronounced Jabez. Jabez is the correct Hebrew pronunciation for him. But good southern colloquialism, and everybody I know calls him Jabez. So I just want you to know for the next 4 or 5 weeks, that's who he's going to be. Because that's probably the way you've described his name up to this point. And all of a sudden, in the midst of Chronicles, there's this prayer that he prayed. Right in the midst of it, it says that Jabez prayed a prayer and ask for blessings. Doesn't tell us who his parents were. Doesn't tell us his brother's name. It doesn't tell us what circumstances he lived in. But we know this. He stood strong in the midst of them. It's easy to miss Jabez and his prayer. The honest truth is, most of us might never have heard of him except years ago, Bruce Wilkinson wrote that book. And a lot of us read it. And then we found out Spurgeon also wrote a book about Jabez. And that this prayer has been recorded. And all those years since then, I've had it in a little frame on my desk. I look at it at least a couple of times a week and remember his prayer. Because he's a part of a long heritage of those who have sought a blessing from the Lord. If you take the time and explore your scriptures and look for those who ask God for his special blessing, you'll find Jabez as part of a great heritage, a heritage of folks like Abraham, a heritage of folks like Israel, a heritage of folks like Nehemiah and the Apostle Paul, and so many others who just wanted God's blessing. And you also realize this is a remarkable man. And over the next few weeks, as we move into the season of looking at what it means to experience the blessing, we're going to spend some time and we're going to take this prayer apart. And then we're going to move on to another series about blessings as well. The Bible tells us two personal details that we need to know about Jabez. The first one is this: Jabez had to overcome serious obstacles to become the man he would be. You know what his name means? Well, you do if you've looked it up in 1 Chronicles. His name meant painful. It's the name his mother gave him at birth, and it's the name he walked around with every day of his life. And every time somebody saw him, they said, there's the guy who causes pain. There's painful. There's that guy that hurts other people. Can you imagine what it would be like to be called that name the rest of your life? So how you doing, painful? How are things going in your life, causer of pain? It would be easy to become very discouraged and wonder, what have I got to do to live beyond this name? The honest truth is, some of us this morning don't have to imagine how it feels to know how he must have felt, because you know what it's like to encounter rejection. You know what it's like to go through real hurt. You were listening to that song that Evie was singing to us a while ago, and it was resonating in your heart because you know what it's like to feel as though somehow you're always on the outside looking in. That folks find reasons to find fault with you and criticize you, and you've gone through some of life's breaking places, and you've gone through some of those times that really hurt, and you don't have to wonder what it's like to be a Jabez in this world. And you know how tempting it can be to just give in to those voices and give up on yourself. Well, if that's all people think about me, if that's what they think of when my name comes to mind, maybe I just need to quit. And I have no doubt that Jabez faced that temptation. But Jabez chose to live above the reputation that had been assigned to him. The Bible says rather than allowing it to hold him back, he chose to trust God and rise above his past. And every time somebody talked to him about being painful, and every time people talked about how suffering was part of his life, he would begin to say, yes, but in the midst of it all, I have learned how to depend upon the Lord. And I have learned this: whatever may happen in my life, God will give me the strength to rise above it. He will bless me. And that's one thing you need to know about him personally. But you also need to know this: and Jabez was a man of genuine integrity. In fact, if you ask somebody, tell me something about Jabez. Can you tell me what he looks like? No. Can you tell me who his parents were? No. Can you tell me where he lived? No. Can you tell me what he did for a living? No. Can you tell me something about his character? Yes. He was an honorable man. That's how the Bible describes him. He was an honorable man. In fact, it says he was more honorable than his brothers. Now, we don't know exactly what happened that gave the evidence that he was an honorable man, but this is what we know. He had a reputation for a sterling character. The Bible says that this was not an easy quality to attain, that it reflected a lifetime of effort and commitment, that he chose to live by a higher standard. He wanted to live a life that mattered for all the right reasons. Isn't that a good thing to know? If only more of us were committed to being honorable people in this world. You know what we have settled for instead of being honorable in our culture today? We like the idea of famous. I just want to be famous. Famous for doing the right thing, famous for doing the wrong thing, famous for doing things that nobody else would do. I just want to be famous. But that was not Jabez. He said, I want my life to be honorable. I want to live my life according to a high standard. I want people to see me and recognize the hand of God in my life. And that's why the Bible interrupts this long list of begats to reveal that prayer that Jabez prayed. And the petition that he prayed is there in the Bible for us to read. We read it together this morning. We'll read it together next week and the next week and the next week. We're going to break down his prayer into components and find out how they apply to our own walk with the Lord. But I want us to begin with a very simple, very serious prayer. Oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed. Lord, that you would bless me indeed. Bless me. Lord, bless me. You know, at first that seems like a very self-centered prayer, doesn't it? Lord, I just want you to bless me. Lord, bless me. I want to be blessed. Was Jabez selfishly asking God to give him things that the Lord was going to withhold from other people? You know, was he saying, Lord, bless me, but don't bless anybody else. Lord, do something in my life that's so special that nobody else is going to get it. And I'll stand out above the crowd because you blessed me. Was it a prayer to be first in line? Was it a desperate appeal for attention? Lord, me, 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 bless me. Why did he open his prayer in just this way? Was it so that we could know what was involved in seeking honor for himself? Or was he seeking honor from God? Because when you understand, you realize praying for the blessing is not a selfish prayer. It is the sound of a heart seeking the Lord. The truth is, when Jabez prayed, oh Lord, that you would bless me, the focus is not on me. The focus is on you. Lord, that you would bless me. I want my life to be found in the center of your will. I don't want anything in my life that doesn't find its origin in you. Lord, will you bless me? So, what is a biblical blessing? According to the Bible, a blessing is a powerful thing. You know, we don't think about a blessing the way that the Lord thinks about a blessing, the way it's described in the Bible. Somebody sneezes, we say, bless you. Somebody hands you half their tomato sandwich, we say, what a blessing. We find a parking place just close to the grocery store, and we feel especially blessed that day. God's doing all these little things to just make my life easier. And that's how we tend to think about a blessing. We think of it as these are those little minor circumstances that God arranges in such a way that my life just is easy for me. That has nothing to do with what the Bible has to say about a blessing. Here's the problem. A casual understanding of the blessing comes from a diminished view of God. If we're not careful, when we start thinking about a blessing, what we think about is this mighty God, this heavenly God, this transcendent God who is just walking behind us everywhere we go, and he's saying, what can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I make your life easier? How can I take away your struggles? How can I make it so you don't have to hurt? How can I just follow you around and give you whatever you want? Because that's what a little God will do. That is not what the Bible talks about when the Bible says, Lord, that you will bless me. Part of what we need to understand is Jabez is saying, God, mighty God, eternal God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, God who is far beyond me and anything I can imagine. God, I need your blessing. When the Bible describes the blessing, it is infinitely more than just insignificant words. If you're talking about a biblical blessing, one of the things you need to know is it is talking about where my little life intersects Almighty God and everything explodes around me. Let me tell you what the Bible tells us about a blessing. It tells us that the blessing has the power to transform your life. This is what the Bible will tell you about God's blessing. It will say this, and once your life has been touched by the blessing, you will never be the same. Your life will be transformed. It will be turned inside out. You go through the scriptures. You look at those people who prayed and asked for God's blessing, and one of the things you realize is, and when that blessing comes, everything changes from that point forward. It doesn't make them have a better day. It transforms their life. And they will never be the same again. And the second thing we discover about the blessing is this. And the blessing can only be bestowed by someone who has authority over your life. When Jabez says, Lord, bless me indeed, one of the things he's recognizing is, you are God. You are God. Bless me. The lesser person can never bless the greater person. Well, wait. Just a few minutes ago, we sang about blessing the Lord. In the Psalms, it talks about blessing the Lord. How can you say that the lesser can't bless the greater? And to understand that, you have to go to the passage which you read in Ephesians and listen to what it says. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And understand that when you read that passage, basically what you're saying is you cannot bless God until you have been blessed by God. Until He has already poured Himself out on you. And when we bless the Lord, when we as a lesser bless the greater, what we're really doing is responding to the power and the presence of the Lord in our lives. There's never a time when you and I can bless the Lord according to a biblical blessing, because that would assume we had some kind of authority over Him. We had some kind of influence over Him. We had some kind of power that could make Him do what we want Him to do. And that is not to be found in Scripture. When we bless the Lord, basically what we're doing is responding to the power and the presence of Almighty God. The blessing brings the power of God into the lives of men. God speaks to you and things change. If we had a moment this morning, I would ask folks to share a salvation testimony today, and there'd be a lot of people who would say something along these lines. When I walked into the service that day, to me it was just another day. It was just another service. But in the midst of it all, I met God, and I have never been the same. He changes you. He changes your life. And sometimes He does do it over a period of time, but sometimes He does it instantaneously. And when He blesses you, you will never be the same again. The power of God has come into your life. The blessing comes, carries the weight of causing something to come about. When you are blessed, He brings about a change in your life, in our world, in your circumstances, in our creation. When God blesses, things change. He moves heaven and earth. For Jabez, experiencing the blessing meant living a life that was only possible because of the Lord. So understand that. When Jabez is praying this prayer, when he prays, oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed, what he's really saying is this: I want a God-saturated life. I want things to be going on in my life that cannot be explained apart from Jesus. I want things to be happening in my circumstances that can only be explained by Almighty God. And the Lord challenges you to seek His blessing, because when you do, you're asking Him to change you. So when we pray, "Lord, bless me indeed," what we're not saying is, "God, give me what I want. Take care of me. Meet my needs. Be there for me in my little tiny things. Make sure I never have any superficial struggles." What He's saying is, "God, invade my life." Praying for the blessing reveals a consuming desire to experience His touch in your heart, in your soul, and in your circumstances. So what is a blessing? Let me give you a very simple definition. Are you ready? A blessing brings the power of God into the affairs of men. That's it. A blessing brings the power of God into the affairs of men. And everything changes. When Jabez prayed for a blessing, he was praying for God to invade his life. He wanted to know God personally and follow Him closely. He was not willing to stick with the status quo where his spiritual life is concerned. What he wasn't saying was, "God, here I am. I'm where I like being. I'm doing what I like doing. I don't want to change anything. I just want it to be better. So God, just bless me." What he was saying emphatically was, "God, whatever you have to do to change my life, here I am." Or this is how Jabez said it. He said, "Oh God, that you would bless me indeed." Indeed. Emphatically, unapologetically, powerfully transformative. "Bless me indeed." And that should be your prayer this morning and my prayer this morning. To pray, "Bless me indeed," is to open yourself to God's authority with nothing held back. When Jabez was praying, "Lord, bless me indeed," what he was saying was, "Here's my whole life, Father. Here's where I like to live. Here's what I like to do. Here's how I want to conduct myself. This is what I think brings me real pleasure." And you're saying, "But here it all is." To hear Jabez pray, "Bless me indeed," is to watch Abraham as he responds to God's call and takes his son up onto the mountain to prove his commitment to the Lord. It is Joshua walking across the Jordan River because God told him to, and that's where the promised land lay. To pray, "God, bless me indeed," is to simply say, "Everything is yours. Nothing is held back." Jabez was determined that nothing in his life would be an obstruction to God answering his prayer. Here's what he did not do. He didn't ask for a blessing and then wait passively to see what God will do. You know, he didn't sit in a congregation like this one and say, "God, just bless me. Lord, just bless me. I want to be blessed. Oh, God, bless me." And then just wait. Instead, he prayed for the blessing continually while seeking to please God in every area of his life. "God, bless me. Bless me in the midst of my life. Bless me as I surrender everything to you. Bless me as I go where you tell me to go, as I do what you tell me to do, as I move about my lifetime. Let me bring honor to you wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. Bless me." He wanted to be found faithful. That's what it meant to be an honorable man. And when we pray, bless me, we're not asking for the Lord to give us what we want. We're praying that He will bring our lives into alignment with His will. "God, bless me. But if your blessing rests here and my life is here, then God, you do whatever you have to do to get me in line. Because I want to be yours. Bless me." It's only when you realize that God alone can bring your life to a place of spiritual abundance that you'll know what it means to be blessed by God. And it may astound you. There will be times when you will say to yourself, I thought that this is the form God's blessing would take. And what He has done is completely different. But what He's done is right. Bless me. There'll always be two active elements at work during a biblical blessing. The first one is this: the blessing must be given. Now hear this. Lord, bless me indeed. God has to choose to bestow, to give the blessing. It can't be claimed, it can't be demanded, it can't be earned, it can't be expected. There's nothing you can do to cause God's blessing to fall on your life. We do not have the means to compel God to bless us. We cannot say, God, because I used the right words and the right terms and said it in the right way and the right kind of prayer, then you have to do what I want you to do. It just doesn't work that way. Instead, we find this: God's blessings are freely bestowed by an all-wise and all-loving Father who blesses us because He chooses to do so, and because He desires to do so. Not because He is compelled to act. Told a story about Judith a little while ago. And we had a great visit, and it worked out well, and she still loves my family, and my family loves her more than they do me, so everything turned out right. Well, I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? But imagine at the end of that, if at the end of that trip, if we were preparing to return back to Virginia, and I said to her, okay, now I just want to know something, because I was watching you look at those movies the other day. I just want to know, do you love me? Because if you don't love me, good luck finding your way home. You won't be going in my car. So you tell me, do you love me? How would I know whether she was serious or not? I mean, she might have said something along those lines. Yeah, I love you. Open the door. When I get home, I never want to see you again. Open the door. Yeah, we can compel people to do things. And we think we can compel the Lord to bless us as well. But the truth is, the only thing that really matters is what is freely given. I would rather hear 1,000 times from my wife, I love you, than for me to compel her to say those words, because then they don't really matter. The same thing is true of the Lord. I can't make Him bless me. It is He who chooses to bless me according to His will and according to His love. God's blessings are freely offered. Nor do we have the ability to determine what form the blessing will take. It's not about claiming a new car or getting a better job. It's about seeking God's touch in your life. And notice this, while Jabez prayed, bless me, he didn't try to tell the Lord what that meant. He didn't say, and this is how I will know that you have proved yourself to me. To pray for the blessing is to place our lives in His hands to do as He wills. Lord, bless me. Here I am. Second thing we need to know about a biblical blessing is not only that it has to be freely given, but it has to be received. You have to be open to whatever the Lord wants to send into your life. In the Bible, the one doing the blessing always described what the blessing would be. It was the one who bestowed the blessing who would then describe the blessing. It was never the one who came to be blessed who said, and this is how you can prove yourself to me. Your Heavenly Father wants to bless you, but you have a question to answer. And that question is, will I receive His blessing? Will I receive His blessing, whatever form it may take? Will I receive His blessing, even though it may turn my life upside down? Will I receive His blessing and say to Him, whatever you will, that's what I'm going to do? Because you see, He will never compel you to accept the blessing. You have to be ready to receive whatever He provides from His abundance, no questions asked. Sometimes people decide they don't want to receive God's blessing. You know why? Because for me to receive what God wants me to have, I have to let go of what I'm already hanging on to so tightly. You know, we always think about the blessing as something that's given, but sometimes the blessing also involves something that has to be let go of. I have to let go of things that are binding me. I have to let go of attitudes that are confining me. I have to let go of desires that I hunger to see fulfilled. I have to let go of it all. And then I can receive what God wants me to have. But until I let go, there's no room in my life for a blessing. And so we have to decide. So am I so ready to receive God's blessing that I'll release anything He calls on me to let go of in order to make room for true abundance? Sometimes folks don't want to let go. It's up to you, but here's the thing you need to remember. To reject the blessing is to reject God's plan for your life. It is to hang on to that stuff that you think you have to have so tightly, but you're also turning away from what God has planned. So the real question, the critical question this morning is simply this. So are you really ready to pray for a blessing this morning? Are you willing to follow Jabez's example and simply say, Lord, will you bless me indeed? Bless me indeed, because that means I have a God-saturated life. Bless me indeed, because my life is now in line with your plan. Bless me indeed, because I'm ready to let go of the stuff that's holding me back in order to embrace the stuff you're bringing into my life. Lord, I want a life that can only be explained by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you bless me? First, it seems like such a simple answer. Sure, I want a blessing. I want everything God's got planned for me. But are you willing to make the sacrifice and let go of the things that are holding you back in order to receive the things He so wants to pour into your life? And for some of us here today, that begins with salvation. You never have had time to trust Christ as your personal Savior. It's not that you don't believe in Him. It's not that you don't understand that He is the only one who can give you everlasting life. But it is that your life has been so full of other things that you're just not ready to let go of yet, that you've said, maybe someday I'll trust Him, but not today. But you know, maybe today is that day. And maybe you're here today and you feel His call on your life and He wants to transform you from the inside out. In a moment, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. This will be your opportunity to come, and I'll be here and Dr. Hutchins will be here, and we would love to help you learn how to know Jesus, and more than that, help you learn how to trust Jesus for your personal salvation. Or maybe part of receiving God's blessing is simply saying, God is calling me to be part of First Baptist Church. I want to be part of what he's doing here because this is where his Holy Spirit wants me to be. Maybe today's the day when you need to say, Lord, I recognize those things I've been hanging on to so tightly, and I'm ready to let go so you can have your way. And maybe it's something you need to handle right where you are. Maybe it's something you need to come forward and say, pray for me as I surrender everything to him. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, my only question is, are you ready? Are you ready for his blessing? Do you need to come? Let's stand together. Let's sing.